This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, online. SunburyMotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. And yes, I hear Neil on the line. Yes, I can always pick up on certain things. My good friend, to say it's always a pleasure would be an understatement. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, indeed. As always, it is my great pleasure to be here.
All right, so I want to start with the quarterback part of it, because no matter what we talk about with the Steelers, and we haven't talked about it a lot, Russell Wilson, in some ways, this is like a rehabilitation assignment along the way. When you watch the Denver version of Russell Wilson, what do you think actually needs to be rehabbed on him in terms of his game?
With Wilson, and I know Steelers fans have not liked hearing this since it happened, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done there, but I wouldn't say it's he needs to improve this as much as he can't do the stuff that they're asking him to do in Denver. I think the results are pretty obvious. If you watch him game to game, don't look at the stats. If you watch him game to game, he made a lot of mistakes. He didn't see plays happening the way they were drawn up. That was the frustration from Sean Payton. He made a lot of mental mistakes. Stuff that, you know, go with their record, are not acceptable for a quarterback in the NFL. So they need to, I hate to use the word simplify, but they need to incorporate the things that he can do. And if you look at it in Denver, you're going to ask yourself, well, why didn't Sean Payton do that? Well, because he's Sean Payton, and they signed him for $20 million a year and probably had more sway within a new ownership group than the quarterback did. So I think a lot of what Wilson can do, he can throw the deep ball well, he throws it down the seam well. Have him be able to read a play as it's developing, probably fewer just quick one-hit reads. Let him see the play materializing in front of him. And that really means you need a little bit deeper of an offense. That's not something we've seen in Pittsburgh a whole lot lately, to put it mildly. To me, I think you have a good marriage of the skill set of a quarterback from the past, mm-hmm, with an offensive coordinator who can scheme around that concept from the past. So it, in a way, it's almost a reclamation project both for Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith. I think in that they need to run things that don't have as much complexity but are allowed to develop a little bit more to give Wilson the feel that I think he was lacking when he was in Denver, if that makes sense. He didn't have rhythm. He passed on things earlier in plays rather than later, which is, the primary receiver is this. That's where the ball needs to go. He doesn't really operate well like that. I think he's going to get the sense of where the ball needs to go in his mind, and you need to be able to create enough options for him to be able to do that. And to be successful with that, a lot of trust that needs to take place. Probably going to be saying you can't make an omelet without breaking any eggs. I think he's going to have a few turnovers and a few, frustrating situations where a play could have been made, but he passed on it for something else. they have to establish that trust, and they're really going to have to kind of let him go. I think that's why they made a thing of saying, Russell Wilson's the starter, we brought him in, this is our guy. I think they need to build that up. I think to get the most out of him with a new offense, he's going to have the freedom to do the things that it has worked for him in the past. He had some success here and there in Denver, but not really enough game-to-game playing within a very rigid structure. He needs to be able to get the ball down the field when those opportunities are there, and he needs to be able to lean on a running game to set up a lot of the movement, a lot of the play-action stuff that he's used to running. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do. It's in my mind, it's a great fit. It's a question of how well they can blend together for who they are now versus what they've shown in the past.
Right. So now let's get to the Justin Fields part of it. With the new kickoff rules, it's at least been floated that he might be a part of it. So we'll start with two parts. Number one, let's start with the kickoff rule and your thoughts on it and the idea that maybe Justin Fields is a part of it.
Let's start with the second one first. Whatever reason that came up and the manner in which it was kind of broken to the world, I think might have been taken a little bit more seriously than what they thought. At the same time, though, when you have the space that you're going to have to operate to set blocking up, good open field runners are good open field runners.
That's right.
So while I don't think there's a way in the world Justin Fields is going to go for being a kick returner, I do think you're going to see the teams that want to be the most creative with this having the most success. To a point where, there probably is a bet that I could make on this. I wouldn't mind dropping $100 on there's going to be 3+ kick return touchdowns in week one. It's crazy, I know, but I think it's one of those things that you're going to understand how to run it far better than you're going to understand how to cover it in week one, coming out right away. It's very different. It's unique to this game, obviously. It makes sense for where they want to go as far as limiting, high-speed, violent contact, and it's not like anything that we have seen at the NFL level. So some people are going to be well ahead of the curve on this, and some people are going to be way behind the curve. We're going to see that quickly within the framework, at least the first couple weeks of the NFL season.
I think
Justin Fields could be effective within that. He's a great open-field runner. He has great feet. He's very quick. He sees what's coming at him. In fact, I would even argue a good running quarterback would have success with this because it's very similar to the kinds of stuff that they break consistently. And Fields, for as big as he is, obviously he's fast in a straight line sense. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's twice as big. He's really, really quick. He's very agile. He's great at eluding defenders in the open field. And that's really what this is going to be. There's a lot more space to work with. They're not going to have as much time to close in around somebody, which is what you do on a kick return. You're staying in a lane until you're breaking in to converge on whoever's carrying the ball. This is going to be much more straight ahead running. And with that, I think somebody like Fields could be effective, just in a theoretical sense. That said, there's absolutely no way he's going to be returning kicks. Fields, oddly
as
enough,
as the backup quarterback, that's right.
They're both in contract years. So they're not going to put themselves into a position to unnecessarily risk injury. Obviously, nobody's talking about Wilson doing this. I just mean Fields, the position that he's in, he's a free agent next year. So he wants the opportunity to throw the ball. He doesn't need to show anybody else that he can run it anymore. I can't imagine he would be on board with it to the point where I don't think it was even serious. I think it was just something they floated as he might be the best open field runner on the team. That's the type of guy you want back returning kicks right now.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's fair enough. I mean, I completely understand that as to, what the thought process happens. But I think it's at least an interesting, you're right, the kind of runner you want to have back there. That part I completely get, is that's the kind of guy you want to have in terms of the ability to get in the open field. I mean, you'd love, for example, to put Lamar Jackson back there. I mean, he'd be something in that.
Yeah, for the same reasons. You look at how quick he is. I mean, really, it's there's a difference between getting to the sideline. I jokingly tell a Browns fan friend of mine this, the Baker Mayfield speed, a guy that can get out of the pocket and can reasonably get you 4, 5, 6 yards angling to the sideline. That's, you know, Baker Mayfield isn't slow, but he's not fast. Lamar Jackson is side to side, all gaps, all distances fast. You get a guy like that in this situation where he has both his left and his right to move, he would be dangerous in this situation. I think at the same time, I think it's common sense. If Lamar Jackson has 10 yards of runway and you're coming at him straight and he can elude you to his left or his right, he's going to make some guys look stupid. He's going to break some ankles and he's going to make some plays. He absolutely would dominate in this. Now, that's not to say that there are not very shifty, very fast other players that might not have the franchise value that Jackson does,
right,
that you don't need to put back there. But at the same time, there is an instinct behind this. And I'm not even sure if it can be defined, but it's athleticism plus vision, creating some type of preternatural anticipation. There's an instinct to running in the open field. And Lamar Jackson might be the best that we've ever seen, at least since, like, Barry, since Gale Sayers. These were guys that knew where somebody was going to move before anything would happen. And they could set it up, break at the right time, and make guys miss. Jackson is that level of a runner that in something like this, yeah, I mean, it'd be fun. I totally get that there's no way they're going to do that, but I would enjoy watching Lamar Jackson in this kind of scenario. In fact, I hope in Madden 25 that's an option that's available. If I could have Lamar Jackson return kicks, maybe that'll actually compel me to play with the Ravens. I'm not sure. We'll see how that goes. But Jackson's a phenomenal runner, and this structure is going to open that up for lower level roster guys that need to do something to make a roster spot. And I think the kick returner is going to be a significant part of this upcoming season. And again, I'll say this throughout training camp and into the preseason: the teams that get this, the teams that can execute this, are going to be factors as the season goes on, because it's so different. There really isn't a whole lot to draw from. There are ideas, there are theories. Some will work really well, some won't at all. I think you're going to see a huge gap between the good ones and the bad ones, and that's going to be the factor in a lot of games this season.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about that. It is going to be. What kind of players do you need to cover this? And do you change as to how you block it because of what the alignment happens to be?
That's one of the more convoluted things I think you're going to find. I've talked to a few people involved with special teams at various levels. They'll all give you the confident answer like they know what they're talking about, but it sounds a lot like the same as what they would do before. And it doesn't account for a different spacing. It doesn't account for the fact that blocking can't be the same. It's much more one-on-one. So really, what you're typically looking at is your linebackers, guys that can run with a good amount of speed and plug holes, fill lanes, get in the way until there's the big, kind of violent crash and the bodies fall everywhere. This is a lot more one-on-one. So in a way, it's almost like they're going from real hard on the blocks, low post play basketball to today's open-ended, hit the three, corner three, transition three, something that's much more spaced out. It's much more one-on-one. They have not ever played special teams like that. So the right fit in my mind would be if you've got, to block, if you've got an offensive lineman that can run to a spot very quickly and get in the way of somebody that's going to be far quicker, be able to get inside their body and move them. In other words, it's either going to be a loss or a touchdown in a lot of ways if you have too many of those guys. You've got to be able to balance it out, and you're still doing all that with the constructs of a 53-man roster. They're still going to value the third-string linebacker, over perhaps the third-string tackle that they need on game day in certain situations. You know, it's going to come down more to offense and defense than it will specifically special teams, minus your core special teams guys. You know, it what I mean by that is the advantages, I think, are going to be much more obvious. And guys are going to be playing, in a sense, out of position in a way. I would think the guy coming down, they have to break off blocks, straight-up blocks, elude them as opposed to overpower them. They're going to have rip, swim, all of those, you know, dips, all of those kinds of moves to be able to get past the guy blocking them, because they're not double-teaming. They're not going to have the space to be able to do that. In that, I think it's going to take a different player. They're going to have to be trained differently than what they've done. And the NFL, they don't spend a whole lot of time on special teams gunners. And they don't do this in college at all. So I don't even know. I think some people are going to take to it really well. Some coaches are going to take to it really well. But I think some are going to be absolute disasters as well. And that's going to create some significant plays and games. And we're not really going to understand why until we see it live. Maybe not even in the preseason. We might have to wait till the regular season to really flesh out what coaches want to do. But it's a much more heightened strategic part of the game, I think, than it's been in the past. And as a special teams dork, I think it's going to be fun. I enjoy the strategy that goes into it, why they're doing it, how they're doing it. There's a lot more emphasis now than there's been in the past. And I'm not even sure who's going to be great at it, but I'll bet there's going to be a stark difference between the ones that are doing it the best and the ones that aren't.
I'm glad you brought up the preseason, because the preseason, look, a bunch of different guys play. You know, you're paying, like, you're just wasting money if you're going to a preseason game, unless you're a real diehard in terms of people you want to see. But when it comes to this, can you see teams putting out their best players right away because they need to see how it works in live competition?
That's what I mean, though. It's I'm choosing my words carefully, but NFL coaches have earned the right to allow themselves to think that they know everything.
Right. Yeah.
And I just call it life experience. Very rarely do you know everything about something you've never done before. So I think humble ones are going to recognize this is way different. They're going to need to see it. And they can look at it in training camp all day long. It's, you know, you wouldn't have preseason games if you honestly felt training camp was the only thing you needed to do. Now, the financial piece of it, I guess, that counts. But you're going to have to put guys in different situations, and you're really going to have to break them down individually. Are you going to put your you know, kick return one team out there right away? Maybe you get them a couple snaps, but a lot of it is going to be mix and match different guys and kind of try to isolate them as individual competitors to compile the idea of what they have in front of them, what they need to work on, what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. I just think, honestly, in a lot of ways, maybe preseason in particular, I think it's going to be a gong show. There's going to be a lot of crazy stuff to test, because there's a lot of things that you can do with this. And I, with all due respect to Danny Smith, for example, Steelers special teams coach, who forgot more football today than I will ever learn in five lifetimes, but there's no way he has a great sense of how this is going to work week one against Atlanta. There's just no way that's possible, and I'll bet he's going to be the first one to say that. They have a lot of ideas, but without being able to execute them in real time, real competition with the real officials on a, you know, under the stadium light, I don't think they know fully what they're getting into. But I also think Danny Smith is the type that can excel with this sort of thing. Maybe the Steelers are ahead of the curve in that regard. They're not going to truly know that, though, until they've got official uniforms on going up against a live opponent, whether that's preseason or week one, to be honest. I would think the more reps, the better. That's just me.
Well, having you on every week is my choice. That's just me.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you keep calling back.
Yeah, well, believe me, we need you. Thanks so much, my friend. Have a great one. We'll talk next week.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coolong joining us. Take a break. Matt Cotrillo in the next half hour. have you and I decided to stay for that?
I am. I will.
All right, well, I'll go with the unified front, then I'll stay, too.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.